So, when you said you wanted to play the Twin Peaks theme, all I could think of was this, and I remember that's a Downton Abbey theme.
all right. God damn it. Right. Try again. Bring it back. All right, bring it back. All right. Play the real song. I was like, this is not Twin Peaks.
Hello, and welcome to Werner Herzog Presents David Lynch's From Marceline to Mowgli Part 2, The Dark Side of Hope. This is Disney Plussons and Carsons, and your host, Werner Herzog. You may have remembered joyous expectations of dreams in small town America, but our kind host Tim has something he would like to say about the death of that dream. Tim?
The last quote you're going to get from me is from the Walt Disney biography by Neil Gabler, as was heavily quoted in the last episode we did. But this last little morsel, I'll quote from Gabler. Disney scholars would cite the effect of Marceline on Disneyland's Main Street USA, or on its Tom Sawyer Island, or on the live-action films like So Dear to My Heart and Pollyanna that were steeped in small-town life and extolled small-town virtues, or even on the early cartoons' preoccupation with farm life and animals, which Disney himself acknowledged. It was as if Marceline were a template for how life was supposed to be, and he were trying to recreate the town, no doubt attempting in the process to recapture in essence its essence of well-being, freedom, and community, essentially recapturing what he would call the most blessed passage of his childhood. Marceline would always be a touchstone of the things and values he held dear, everything from his fascination with trains and animals to his love of drawing to his insistence on community harked back to the years he spent there. And Marceline was an oasis as well as a touchstone, Walt Disney's own escape of the sort that Disney's had so long sought with so little success. Years later, rhapsodizing about country life during a meeting on the mood he wanted to achieve in the pastoral section of Fantasia, Walt said, "That's what it is, a feeling of freedom with the animals and characters that live out there. That is what you experience when you go into the country. You escape the everyday world, the strife and struggle. You get out here where everything is free and beautiful." He would spend the rest of his life trying to recover that feeling.
But the truth is, he never truly would.
All right, that's the end of my Werner Herzog. Welcome back to Plus and Custom Presents From Marceline to Mowgli, Part 1, Part 2. You may be asking yourself right now, why are we playing the beautiful and haunting theme song from Twin Peaks? Why are we talking about Werner Herzog and David Lynch? And the fact of the matter is, I want to spend the next 30 to 45 minutes talking about the death of hope, the dark side of hope, the problem with wanting too hard, the issue with nostalgia, and the reason we'll all die alone. It's really not that bad. But the fact of the matter is, after doing my research, I have come to the idea that, plain and simple, lung cancer killed Marceline just as much as it did Walt Disney. And the reason I believe that is something that we're going to learn about today called the Marceline Project. Now, before we dig in too much about the Marceline Project itself, what it is and what it meant for Marceline, I think it's important to take some of our...
Announce what our show is and who we are!
I just did! I said it when I was doing the Werner Herzog thing. This is Disney Plussin and Cussin Presents From Marceline to Mowgli, Part 1, Part 2, The Death of Hope. Welcome back to Disney Plus and a Cussin. My name's Deefy. This is Tim Q. There will be no more Werner Herzog. We're super fucking glad you're here. And we're going to talk about some sad sack shit. But I do want to go back to the last episode. You started it off perfectly with, honestly, the best quote you could have given me for my contribution today and making all of us super fucking depressed. We talked a lot in the last episode, for those of you who remember and who are still joining us from last week or the same day. I don't know when these things come out. About the view that Walt had of Marceline through the lens of childhood, right? The you have to walk through his idealized version of Marceline to get into Disneyland. You get off the fucking train, welcome to Main Street USA, take a walk down fucking Kansas Avenue where everything is the way it was supposed to be. But it's not how it fucking is. And this is a story of holding on to that last idea, that last glimmer of fucking magic. And you mentioned it a little bit in the last episode. If anything touches Walt, the people that were tangentially associated with that are gonna latch onto it too. So before we talk too much about David Lynch and the broken American dream and our own mortality and fucking lung cancer, I want to take you back to the year 1950 fucking six.
Nancy Pelosi just discovered the tickle pickle in her parents' hot tub.
And she's teaching it to her grandma, who wants to know if her mom knows what she's doing. Because as long as her mom knows, it's going to be okay.
And her dad's going to be a little bit of a rascal and tell her that it's going to make her go blind.
So Disneyland is open. It's important to remember that Disneyland is open. It's a fucking massive success. Walt has a weekly television show, and remember, this is the fucking 50s, so it's not like you have a lot of choice. So every night, once a week, the whole fucking country tunes in prime time to Walt tell you whatever the fuck he wants to tell you. Things are going really well for Disney, and the city of Marceline has built themselves a municipal swimming pool and a park. And they want to name it after Walt. So they send Disney Studios a letter that says, "Hey, dear Disney Studios, we have made a pool and a park, and we would like to call it Walt Disney Park and Walt Disney Swimming Pool. And if you want to, you can pull up your phone right now and look in maps, and Walt Disney Pool and Walt Disney Park are still there, albeit the pool is closed. Maybe for the season, I really don't know. But we're going to get into that here towards the end of the episode. Now, honestly, you have to remember that, as you may know if you've been with us since season one, shit was pretty fucking difficult in the 40s. And that we are going to talk a lot more about that later in this season. But things are chugging right along for Disney. And so when the Disney Studios get a letter from Marceline saying, "Hey, we'd like to name this pool after Walt. We'd like to dedicate it to Walt." Their first thought is, these motherfuckers want some money. So they send a letter back and they're like, "Hey, we're not going to give you any money." Not Walt's decision, but the studios. And they were like, no. "This thing cost $78,000. We spent it. We already built the pool. We already built the park. We just want to name it after Walt, and we want to know if that's okay." So news gets back to Walt, and he says, "Fuck yeah." Because as we've already discussed, you have this true connection to Marceline and everything you've done so far. And so he says, "Yeah, fuck yeah." So Walt says to the city of Marceline, "Hey, can me and Roy come out and, like, we'll help you guys throw a party? Maybe we'll do a little dedication." So July 4th, 1956, Walt and Roy are going to show up in the city of Marceline, not necessarily, but kind of sort of for the first real time since moving out, right? This is a big deal for the fucking city. A big deal for the city of Marceline in the 50s. The city leaders, the fucking, the mayor, all of these people have put in a ton of fucking work into making this happen. And finally, maybe, just fucking maybe, Walt Disney himself is going to latch on to this memory of Marceline that we think might be tied into these things, but nobody's ever come right out and fucking said it, right? This could be a really big deal. So Walt and Roy show up on July 3rd, 1956, and this is when we're going to learn about a man named Rush Johnson. So it is important to know that Marceline, as you said in the last episode, just fucking, so 5 years on the farm, right? 2 years living in town. Those 2 years in town, things were already starting to change. The nation was growing at a wicked piss a fast rate. The world is becoming just more modernized and urbanized, and the childhood dream of life on the farm just doesn't have quite the same magic. Marceline doesn't quite have the same magic, and that continues well into the 50s, easily into the 50s. Now, it's important to understand that Marceline is just...
Do you remember Oliver and Company?
Of course I fucking remember Oliver and Company. I watched it like 15 times.
It was like a Billy Joel joint. Was like,
yeah.
It's a fucked up time in New York City. It's a fucked up capital of the world. Things are feeling shitty.
Hanging out in New York City.
Yeah. Once upon a time in New York City. That was just an example of them being like way more focused on cities than, I don't think you're gonna find a movie that's set in the country anymore, not for kids.
Maybe Brave. Remember Brave?
I liked Brave.
The Country Bears. We should cover The Country Bears, starring Haley Joel Osment as a bear.
I once had a dream that I was at like a Primus show at Disney World, and they came out dressed as the Country Bears and did a Primus cover of Country Bears.
Full aside, did you see that Primus is currently touring with Coheed and Cambria?
I did. They're also touring with All Them Witches, which is Ash's favorite band.
They're also touring with Too Many Zoos, which is one of my favorite bands.
I'm not going to that show. I'm not going to any of those shows. I'm not going to any more shows. Except for the shows I'm going to. I've spent a lot of money going to shows this year already.
Yeah.
I'm going to Olivia Rodrigo on Wednesday.
Oh, fuck.
I'm going to... it's going to be great. And I'm going to Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum at the end of March, which I'm telling you, man, just get on a fucking plane and come with me. The ticket is $30.
That's
I think it's my new favorite band.
How kind.
Huh? Well, I figured since it's basically story time for me, I'm gonna hit this weed pen while you talk.
Knock it out. Alright, so here, let's bring it back. Welcome back, everybody. Enter Rush Johnson. Rush Johnson's going to be a really important dude for Walt for the next fucking 10, 15 years, right? So, it's important to understand that...
What year are we in?
Yeah, it's 1956, July 3rd, 1956. Really, technically, right now, it's probably like May or April 1956 while these conversations are happening. But everybody recognizes that Walt is coming to town. So you got Rush Johnson. He's a local businessman who has the only house in Marceline. Well, sorry, one of three buildings in Marceline that has central air. Now, mind you, the city cannot have Walt and Roy stay in Brookfield because it's fucking Shelbyville, right? Like, ain't no goddamn way we're going to let Walt and Roy hole up in Brookfield. So instead of letting Walt and Roy spend the night in the fucking middle of July in a fucking dusty, dingy ass, already run the fuck down hotel on Kansas Avenue in Marceline, Rush Johnson offers up his home. So Rush is married to a woman, Inez, who remembers Walt and Roy coming to visit. And before I read her quote, I think it's important to take a pause and let me acknowledge my sources. Today I got a ton of information from an article by John Borden through CNN. Some bullshit that I read on D23 that I don't remember a ton about. I've been active in a few Marceline Facebook groups because if living in Lubbock has taught me anything, it's that small towns talk on Facebook, but nowhere fucking else. But the
majority, is it like next door?
It's
maybe they might talk on next door.
They might talk on next door, but I can't get into Marceline next door. And we're actually going to talk about Marceline Facebook here at the end of this episode. But for right now, I do want to acknowledge. I do want to acknowledge somebody named Jim Corkis, at a website called mouseplanet.com, which I think I'll actually be visiting a lot more often. He wrote an article called The Marceline Project, Walt's Boyhood Home. Because please understand, listener, if you're starting to get bored and thinking, I'm going to turn off. No. Don't do that. We are about to discuss the lost Walt Disney Park. You're a Disney adult. If you made it this far, you love Disney parks. Here's a Disney park that you're never going to get. So, Inez Johnson is married to Rush Johnson, and in Jim Corcus's article on mouseplanet.com, she's quoted as remembering it like this. I reminded my husband that we had spent my furniture money on the air conditioning. We thought, we can't have the Disneys on the hand-me-down furniture. Of course, everyone in town knew the Disneys were coming. And in those days, we didn't have social media, but word got around. Our friends had very nice furniture, but no air conditioning. So they said, hey, we'll help you. And they furnished our house with their good stuff. Then they hired the chef of the Santa Fe Railroad dining car for the Disneys while they were here. What an impression he made with that chef's hat. As it turned out, all the fussing was for nothing. The Disneys were the dearest, warmest, sweetest people and didn't care for any of that fanciness. After everything was over, he and I retired to our den. So now Rush is remembering. Disney settled back in an easy chair and sipped some scotch as he talked about his memories of Marceline, his hometown. He said he'd had a dream to recreate that time, have a turn-of-the-century farm that people could visit with pigs and chickens, horses, cows.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Just wanted to know if this was a wet dream.
I believe.
Or not.
I believe there may. May have been, knowing that that Walt was born in Chicago, there may have been some Malort involved. But otherwise, no.
But no ejaculate in the old underoos.
No. No, not at all.
All right.
He said he had
I'll wait for the next morsel of salaciousness.
He said he had a non-wet dream. I'm adding the non-wet part to help you. He said he had a non-wet dream to recreate that time, to have a turn-of-the-century farm that people could visit with pigs, chickens, horses, cows, maybe a swimming hole, a field of grain, orchards, and so much more. He asked Rush, hey, so who owns the old Disney farm? So I told him who owns it, and he said, hey, you can buy it cheaper than I can buy it. Walt is sleeping in the Rush's home because they are the ones with air conditioning, and he's sitting there drinking scotch, and he goes, you know what? I think I want to buy my old farm back. Hey, you can probably buy it cheaper than I can. And now it's really important to remember, and I don't want to spoil future episodes when we start talking about the birth of Disney World after Walt's death. in season 5. Because I really do want to get to Buzz and Woody and the buying up of Florida and all of those things. But for right now, it's important to understand that this is when Walt started to recognize, hey, if people find out that Walt Disney wants to buy shit, it's going to cost way fucking more than if somebody else buys it for me.
That happened with my restaurant.
It happens all the fucking time. It's how fucking commercial property happens.
It's a... like, this company did, like, upholstering for the restaurant that I worked for. And it was, like, I don't know the fucking numbers. We asked them to do the same thing 2 years later, and it was, like, way, way, way more. Because it was for Monshushu. I mean, I don't know why.
No, that shit happened. So, listen... for anybody
listening. And it's like, oh, well, we're trying to figure out, like, if somebody else could make this bid for us because they know that we make money, and so they're trying to make it way, way, way more expensive.
It's the same as if you tell a fucking florist that you need flowers for a wedding. They're going to charge you fucking triple what they would charge anybody else. If you're trying to buy flowers, tell them that you're buying them for a restaurant. They will, if they think they can get a repetitive wholesale gig, they'll give you repetitive wholesale prices. But never fucking tell anybody doing anything that it's for a wedding or a funeral, because they'll fuck you over a barrel every single time. But speaking of fucking, and speaking of barrels, and speaking of getting a good deal, Rush and Walt sort of develop a relationship here. And now it's important to remember, just for funsies, because this is going to come full circle. Walt is staying in their house. So Walt and his wife stay in Rush's 7-year-old daughter Kay's bedroom. Now that's going to come full circle. So that's Chekhov's Kay's bedroom, because we're going to talk about that again in Act 3. So
Rush... just something pervy.
No, it's not pervy at all. It's just a fucking... it's a small world in Marceline, Missouri. So basically, at this point, one, Rush tells Walt, buddy, listen, it's a cream dream. It's never gonna fucking happen. Nobody's coming to Marceline, Missouri to visit this park that you're thinking of. And again, remember, so... Walt, Henry Ford and the Ford family and the Ford Corporation opened something in Michigan called...
real piece of work, that guy.
Okay, what a dick. Called Greenfield. Now, Greenfield is exactly what Walt sort of pictured this to be. In Milwaukee, they have the fucking Miller... they have the Miller Valley, which is just a massive complex / part of town where Miller fucking started making beer as a small German company, and they have this fucking giant complex that's gorgeous and fun to visit. And you have Henry Ford has Greenfield, Michigan, where it's the same fucking idea. It's the Chaparral cars from Six Flags. It's a butcher shop and fudge and this like tourist, clean, fucking sanitized version of Walt's memories. That's what he wants to do. Now, the Ford Corporation kind of fucking nailed it. Hadn't thought
about the Chaparral cars in Texas, or Six Flags over Texas in a while.
Now that you're thinking about them, you can smell those motherfuckers, am I right? Like, you can hear that noise. Some fucking teenager just hopped on the side of your car, and it's all going, yeah, as they fucking pull you up, and you bang into the back of the car in front of you just a little bit. That's a fucking childhood magical memory that just came back for you, just like Walt's trying to recreate in fucking...
I was thinking of kind of the go-karts at Putt-Putt, where you could go pretty fucking fast in them, and then and then when he pulled up to turn him in, I just slammed into the kid that was in front of me, and it fucking gave him whiplash, and he started fucking crying, and that like wheezing crying that kids do, that only kids do. Now they're like And you could only know that they were crying if you looked at their face. And then that kid died of, like, fucking brain cancer. God. I found out later.
Damn it. Hey, no, hey.
No correlation.
It fits into the Werner Herzog, David Lynch theme of this whole episode. The underlying theme here is the
problem with hope and nostalgia. What I was really thinking of was that fucking, like, hey, it's the Picasso house.
Casa Magnetica? Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Fucking Casa Magnetica was so cool.
And there was never a line because it was lame.
No. Okay. So I loved Casa Magnetica. I don't give a fuck. It was air conditioned.
Oh, I love Casa Magnetica too, but I don't need to go to Casa Magnetica twice to hear fucking lazy 17-year-old give me a fucking Pablo Picasso fucking monologue.
The gravity rolls up. The thing about Casa Magnetica is it had air conditioning. And you know what else had air conditioning? Fucking Rush Johnson's house. So, so Rush and Walt are sitting in Rush's house enjoying the air conditioning on July 4th. It's been a fucking great fucking day, right? Like, Walt stood outside the theater and they showed one of his movies, and as every kid walked in, he shook their hand and gave them the old Walt Disney 1-2 and said, hey, you're the luckiest kid in the world for growing up in Marceline, Missouri. All of my happiest memories happened right here. And so Rush and Walt are having this conversation, and Rush says, listen, like, it's a fucking cream dream, baby. It's never gonna happen. Nobody's coming to Marceline, Missouri to visit this park you want to build. And Walt looks at Rush and says, I've got a primetime TV show. I'm Walt fucking Disney. All I have to do is look into my camera on Sunday night and say, hey, anytime you're in Missouri, go visit my boyhood home and the people will come. And so here I just want to give a little teaser for a couple of guys named Buzz and Woody. No relation to Toy Story's Buzz and Woody, but yes.
Unless those are a reference, right?
I don't know if it's reference or coincidence. I really fucking don't. Because this is some deep cut Disney shit, and Pixar wasn't Disney then. Now, Bryan Singer may have been really fucking into the, like, really deep Disney World shit, but I don't know if it's a coincidence or otherwise. But we're not going to talk about Buzz and Woody now. We'll talk about Buzz and Woody when we get to Disney World. But what we are going to talk about here for just a second is Retlaw Industries. What's the name of the wizard? The mean wizard in Fantasia? And the bad guy in Kingdom Hearts?
Oh, Yncid.
Yncid, yeah.
Yncid.
Yeah, it's Disney fucking backwards. Walt, creative genius that he is, starts a company called Retlaw Industries. Any idea what Retlaw might be?
Is it Walter backwards?
It's Walter backwards. So they start.
You know, I wouldn't have gotten it if you hadn't fed me that first part.
So Retlaw Industries, and that's the thing. Nobody fucking thinks about it. Just like Walt said to Rush earlier in the episode, man, you can buy it a lot cheaper than I can.
I'm sorry, I'm a teensy bit high, but every time you say Rush, I just keep imagining Rush Limbaugh running around with Walt. It's okay.
Every time I say Rush, I keep thinking XXY. Why?
Beep, 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 beep. Here, why don't we take a little aside?
Yeah, play it.
Play you a little.
Get it out of my system. Let's hear some Rush for the people that fucking stop thinking about it.
Here is some Rush.
I think people listen to the radio for three reasons. To be entertained, to be entertained, to be entertained.
And avid listeners were wildly entertained when they tuned in to Rush Limbaugh.
God damn it!
Arguably the most influential talk show host in the history of radio.
Next on the Rush Limbaugh program.
You
His
fucking
daily
cunt.
Program heard by an estimated 20 million listeners.
Turn it up.
No, hold on.
Fucking Don't you play that fat sack. He's dead. We never have to think about him again.
It's not XXY, it's YYZ.
That's what I corrected myself. I was thinking... So, Walt and Geddy Lee develop a fucking pretty intense relationship over the next few years. Retlaw Industries and Rush, at the helm of Retlaw Industries, buy up the 40 acres of farm and then the 5 acres around it. And they get it for a fucking cutthroat price because nobody knows that Disney is trying to buy this up so he can create another fucking theme park, right? Not to the same extent as Disneyland, mind you, but he has this fucking plan. He is going to create,
bro,
the Marceline that he fucking
Neverland. Remembers. It's Neverland. Neverland Ranch.
Yeah. It's exactly like that. It really fucking is. It is a small passion project for the people. Now, here's the thing is Walt's also a businessman, and Roy is all like, this is fucking stupid. We've got shit to worry about. We're doing other things, and you know how Roy and Walt fucking would butt heads on creativity versus business. We'll talk a lot more about that later in this season. But so over the course of the next 10 years, things start to get pretty fucking heavy as far as this idea goes. The Marceline Project. They call it the Marceline Project because nobody knows what the fuck that means. They keep it sort of off the books. They keep it hush-hush. They keep shit quiet. And as they're buying up land in Marceline, they're doing all of it through Retlaw. I'm going to go back to a quote from Rush via Jim Corcus. Walt expected Marcellians to come up with funding that he would match from his private corporation, Retlaw Enterprises. FHA was willing to commit $1 to $2 million, which excited Walt. But when FHA mentioned going as high as $6 million, Walt said we would have to go to Roy for matching funds on that amount. So even Walt is saying, listen.
Dude, this town is like, we're going to throw in this money. And he's like, I don't know if I can fucking match that.
So first they say $2 million. And Walt's like, I can get $2 million without Matt asking permission. No fucking problem. But yes, Walt said, when FHA mentioned they were going as high as six, Walt said we would have to go to Roy for matching funds on that amount. Walt fully understood that he was the creative side of this shit. It's left brain, right brain. It's Walt and Roy at this point. And remember, this is 1956. Like, they've gone to Rio, right? Like, we've got the fucking three caballeros. We've had this situation where Roy has had to say to Walt, calm it fucking down. We've got a fucking business to run. You need to pull your head out of your heart. And let's get this shit straight. Fuck your writer. Fuck your animator strike. Fuck your feelings. You're like, facts don't care about feelings, Walt. And Walt's all like, yeah, I gotta go to Roy if we're gonna get $6 million, but this is a big deal to me. So, hey, we go on. Rush says, Roy was excited about the project. He had fond memories too, right? Roy was excited about the project, but not as excited as Walt. Roy would remind me that his brother was a dreamer and not always realistic. Roy would actually spend more time asking me about his old classmates, especially the girls. And so that's the thing, right? Like, Roy's having a good time with it. He's like, all right, Walt, yeah, sure. We'll fucking build your fucking park in Marceline. He's checking in on his old flames in high school or in fucking school and shit, right? Like, he's checking in on the chicks that he banged under the bleachers at the fucking Marceline high school football game. So over the course of the next inning, here we go. We made many phone calls back and forth over the decade. I made about 10 or 12. This is Rush. No. This is Rush. Rush is saying between him and Walt, We made many phone calls back and forth over the decade. I made about 10 or 12 trips out to the studios in California. Over that time, I became not only a business partner, but a friend. Walt always had a map of Marceline on his desk in the upper left corner, and his secretary told me that it was always there, not just pulled out for my visits, as Walt was actually inclined to do. And his secretary has gone on to say that was actually a fact. When I visited, Walt would go over this in detail. Almost immediately, he had sketched out roughly in pencil on a sheet of paper his plans of what he wanted the place to be. Among other things, he had sketched in a motel in the upper right corner of the property for people to stay, because again, even when Walt stays in fucking Marceline, he has to stay at Rush's house because there's not a nice enough hotel for Walt to stay in unless he goes to fucking Shelbyville. Anyway, in the middle left was a fishing lake, and nearby was a barn for a barn dance activity and a cafe. Activities for children would include what he wrote as buggy train, miniature golf, and horseshoes area. In addition, he had plans to recreate an old-timey butcher shop, barber shop, general store, haberdashery, pool hall, and an old service station. And now, fun fucking fact. I will post, once we post this episode, I have pictures of that drawing that Walt made of the Marceline project map, listing all of those things. So Inez goes on to say, his rule influence as a young boy stayed with Walt for his entire life. And so this was a real thing. This was in the, again, spoiler alert, Walt's gonna die in 66, right? So this decade that we're talking about is the last 10 years of Walt's life. He's been working his fucking ass off. The war was hell. He created propaganda that ended up dropping the atomic bomb on fucking Japan. All of these things we will recover to a small extent, but it has been a long fucking life for Walt Disney, and so this project is really important to him. But as we said earlier, Roy has always said that Walt was the dreamer, but not always a realist. And so this was a big deal. This was something that was starting to gain some traction. When Walt Disney is willing to pour his money into it and talk to his brother about being allowed to get more money, you got to make something happen. So they actually let the mayor of Missouri, or the mayor of Marceline, in on this thing, who ends up talking to the governor of Missouri, and they have plans.
Can we talk to him?
We are working on it. It's a her right now. We'll get to that here in a second. So. They let the mayor of Marceline in on this thing. They let the governor in on this thing. And Walt has plans of helping to fund a two-lane highway that will run from Kansas City to Marceline. Also through Chicago, basically sort of mirroring the Santa Fe train route that made Marceline a thing in the first fucking place. And part of the reason that Walt was in love with trains. They're going to bring in a two-lane highway to get people to this project now. The year is 1966, and
Nancy Pelosi has her own pool that she can masturbate in.
The year is 1966, and Nancy Pelosi has her own pool for masturbation purposes. That is potentially a fact. Another thing that happens is Walt Disney World, after its first decade of being open, is going through its first remodel to help shotgun.
That's Walt Disney Land, right?
Disneyland. I don't think this is Disneyland, yeah. In California. We are not yet to Disney World. Walt will be dead before Disney World.
Walt will be dead.
Spoiler alert. I got bad news for you, Tim. Walt's about to die in the next 2 minutes. So, 1966.
Damn it, we're gonna live so many deaths with this man.
We are gonna talk about his death probably in every episode this season. So, 1966.
Hey, hold on. Silver lining. We're also gonna talk about his life.
That's why we're here, man. So 10 years after the conversation has started, remember it's 1956 when they dedicate the pool. So the year is 1966. Disneyland has decided to remodel, and they are getting rid of a ride known as the Midget Automata. So
that was the first Splash Mountain,
which is also Nancy Pelosi's fuck pool.
Fucking you guys canceled Midget Automata.
So Midget Automata, which I honestly didn't have time to look up, but really want to.
If a Midget Automata walks up to you, you just fucking kick that thing, man.
It's fucking punt it. It's a ride.
Punt it.
It's a ride of some kind. There's a ride of some kind. If I really wanted to, we can dig into the first Imagineers and all of that, but we're not going to. Not yet. So, Walt donates a ride that they're getting rid of at Disneyland. He donates it to Marceline. And to this day, mind you, it operates in Marceline for 11 years. It's the first Disney ride ever to be relocated and actually operated. And it operates for 11 years. Now, this is a big deal for Marceline, and it's sort of the proof that Walt wants to move forward with this project, right? So just like the pool exactly 10 years earlier, the Midget Automata is supposed to be dedicated on the 4th of July, 1966. But about a month before the dedication ceremony, Walt calls Rush and says, "Hey, bud, I'm not gonna make it. I've got this cough that I just can't shake." And
no.
And then he fucking dies. Walt Disney's dead. So Walt Disney fucking dies right before the dedication of the Midget Automata in Marceline, Missouri. And in that...
No, sorry. It was supposed to be... It was way, way, way too late.
Fine, it's fine. Walt's dead, bud. Walt fucking dies. And he...
Oh, now we can finally start the Jungle Book.
Here's the thing about that is with Walt, so too dies the plans for the Marceline project. Because Roy was never really all about this life, right? Roy is balls deep in Disney World. Roy is balls deep in the movies. Roy is balls deep in the business of the business. And without Walt the Dreamer to say, no, fuck you, this is what we do, Roy really takes over doing business shit. So the project just kind of fizzles. Rush is just sort of left alone in Marceline. And eventually, here's where shit's going to kind of come full circle. You know what? I'm going to save that. I'm going to save that for my finale. Things will come full circle. There's kind of a medium happy ending here. But at the end of the day, Roy says, no, fuck the Marceline project. I've got bigger fish to fry. There are more important things to do. And from a business perspective, sure, he was right. But now I want
to... I suppose that no matter how rich you are, you're always, no matter how much money you're dealing with, you're always looking at things from a... We could fuck it up kind
sure,
of way.
Sure.
And we could fuck it up. We could make a foolish decision with this money here, this money there. Like,
well,
it's always losable.
Take it all the way back to Elias, right? The thing about the Disney family is it doesn't matter how many times you lose it. They somehow keep landing on their fucking feet. There's somebody there, a relative, a friend, a brother, that helps you pick up the fucking pieces. Since Kipper fucking Disney or whatever the fuck his name was. Keebler?
Keppel.
Keppel. since the Keppel days of Ellis Island.
Hey, man, you got 16 kids. You can start fucking around with them names.
There was definitely a designee there at some point to help fucking dig you out of it. And so Roy was no different, right? But here's where we get to the Werner Herzog, David Lynchian, Dark Side of Hope scenario, where Marceline only truly ever had Walt for 7-ish years. And that's kind of the only thing that it ever really had, right? It's got a train station. There's a railroad that runs through it. And if it weren't for those pesky fucking FDR freeways, then maybe Marceline would still be important. But in the year 1956, you have 3,100 people, give or take. 3,200 people, give or take. We're looking at, in 2021, maybe 2,000 people. The population of 2021 is listed at 2,100, but to be perfectly honest, between now and 2021, a whole bunch of those motherfuckers probably died from COVID. The city itself, as it was when Walt was moving into town, has been dying the whole time, has been holding on to that idea of the American dream and what Walt can do for us and what Walt can bring to us. Disney dedicated the elementary school. He donated all this money and books. But the only thing that was left behind was the Disney Family Museum. And the Disney Family Museum is run by none other than Rush's daughter, the one who let Disney and his beautiful wife stay in her room back in 1956. So when everything dissolved, Roy sold the farm back to Rush. He said, hey, we're not going through with this. You want to buy it? And Rush was like, yeah, we'll buy it. So Kyra, Rush Johnson's daughter, had a long career at Disneyland. And when she got a hankering to move back home, Rush said, do you want to live in the Disney farm? And she said, sure. So Kyra moved in to the Disney farm and raised her family. But at this point, Walt's dream of a sanitized Marceline, Rush's dream of a sanitized Marceline, and maybe to a certain extent, that little girl who got to meet Walt Disney on the 4th of July back in 1956 was also sort of ruined by this idea of hope. And now I do want to have a little postscript to that. It appears that the Disney Family Museum that operated for years and helped provide all of the research for this episode is closed indefinitely. Is it seasonal? I don't know yet. That story's not over yet. I've reached out to 15 or 16 different people living in the city of Marceline, Missouri, to this day to get their story, to tell me what life is actually like living in Marceline now. I've reached out
to... Well, they're slow risers, Steve.
I've reached out to the two bars in town that still run. I've reached out to their grocery store. I've reached out to the mayor, city council, the one in charge of running the pool. There are a few city council seats that are still currently vacant. not that they've been run unopposed, but that nobody is actually there
due to lack of interest
to sit on the fucking city council. It is a dead.
Man, they might have town. A fucking internet outage.
We we'll learn more. But as of right now, you get the fucking Twin Peaks, David Lynch, The American Dream is dead, Marceline is dead ending until I have further information. And I will get further information, but Marceline provided what we know as Disney magic. The dreaming tree no longer stands. It got struck by lightning 4 fucking times, and eventually in 2001, a strong storm blew it the fuck over. Have they planted other trees nearby to call them the Dreaming Tree? Sure. And did they leave all the wood chips from the original tree for the pilgrims to touch and kiss upon? Absolutely they fucking did. But the Dreaming Tree also died in 2001. And with it, the magic. And now we're stuck with fucking Disney Plus and Star Wars and some Jeff Goldblum fucking National Geographic nonsense every now and then. And whatever the fuck Iger is doing with the Imagineers. But where there is Disney, there is hope. Where there is
and where there is Disney there is Plus
imagination. There will be cuss. And and perhaps, although the American dream is dead, we are not. And as you traverse through this useless beige existence that we know as Marceline, perhaps you should always let your conscience be your guide.